Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Diana Green. We are at the American Indian Center in Chicago, Illinois. Today's date is December 10th, 2008, and it is 2:50 in the afternoon. And Diane, thank you for doing this interview with me. Tell me about the panel you selected for the interview.
This is the first panel made for the Quilt Project. I did it from a painting I did just kind of guessing what my seventh great grandmother looked like. She could have been really totally different from that, but I just made that's her image. Her name was Christian Place Brack. That was her English given name. I don't know how she got it, if she was orphaned, if she was left on a church doorstep or what, but she married a fellow named Reuben Brack. She was born in 1700. And died at 1721. And she was born on Cherokee Mountain. And her son was Aaron Brack, who was also known as Chief Redbird in Clay County, Kentucky. And they all moved around a lot back in those days because the settlers were coming in and kind of chasing them out of where they were used to being. And I started discovering all this stuff about my ancestors shortly after my father died. I guess you could call it a way of working through the grief of my father, all the things that I didn't know about him. He was a pretty mysterious fellow. But once I started discovering a little bit, it all unwound in front of me, and I was so amazed to read the difference from generation to generation. You could watch how they were pushed out of their homelands from one generation to the next. And, you know, going from places, you know, in North Carolina to suddenly a place called Division 19, Georgia, which sounds like a concentration camp. I was really overwhelmed, but wanting so much to connect with those. And I'll tell you, well, one spooky story is that when my father was dying, he was on his deathbed, they had wheeled an actual hospital bed into the den of our home in Memphis. And one night, he started hollering my name out loud, Diane Louise Green, and then my sister's name, Sharon Louise Green, wanting us to come to meet him. And she got up, and I got up, and even my uncle Edward, who was staying, got up, but everybody saw I was awake, so they just walked away and left me there. So I went and sat and held my dad's hand and just kind of chatting. He wasn't making a whole lot of sense, but during that time sitting with him, the air got very, very cold to the point where I could see my breath, and I sensed a huge group of people behind me, but they weren't, you know, there's no visible sign there, but I realized it was his ancestors coming for him, and including his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters, that he was orphaned. My father was an orphan by the time he was 10 years old. So I guess that was one of the inspirations that brought me forth to start looking this up. And then once I found the information, I couldn't do anything but make art about it. And that is how the Ancestor Quilt Project was begun. I continue learning and working to this day. Next year not only will I be continuing working on the Ancestor Quilt Project here, but I'll be doing one tour of the Trail of Tears. At least I wrote a grant for it. I hope it comes through. I'm going from Chicago through Kentucky, where Chief Redbird was, to Cherokee Mountain, North Carolina, and then across the Trail of Tears along the Tennessee lower border through Arkansas to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, where the current Western Band Cherokee Nation is, and then back up to Chicago, where I will be starting on a series of paintings about the entire experience. So, and along the way, there are a few people I intend to meet to introduce doing ancestor panels. One lady in particular is already starting on hers. She's does the free traditional Ketua lessons with the listserv, Yahoo listserv. We meet about every other week online to chat, and she's ready to do some panels for the quilt as well. So I'll be taking what's in progress and so forth with me to show people and inviting others to join.
So what do you hope will happen with the quilt? What are your plans for the quilt?
I'm hoping they'll show in an art show or museum somewhere, maybe even travel for others to see and join. I guess over and above all of that, I know there's a lot of people out there like myself who have Indian ancestry that were never told about it, and I think it's high time that the truth come out, that the people that really are Indians should be made known where they really come from, how they get their wondrous personalities and remarkable gifts. But anyway, it's important to understand like how truly American you really are when you get down to all this, and it's like, oh man, you know, and it's like you keep searching and searching and searching for the ancestors of the ancestors, and nothing goes across the ocean. It's all from somewhere around here. It's like they sprang out of the ground or something, and it's like, whoa, you know. So it's an intense thing to learn about yourself, and you know, different people, you know, trying to explain to people, and they're going, well, you don't look like an Indian. It's like, well, I'm not, you know, Navajo or whatever, and I'm different, you know. It's like, it takes a long time. It's a big thing to get used to. But that's the thing, is I know there are so many others. I mean, one of the people I'm going to visit on the Trail of Tears, this girl Lorette Velvet, she and I were in a rock and roll band together, okay? And we were a songwriting team, and we had a really good time, but we never knew. I called her the other day. Somebody had a question about a song we used to do. Who would know the answer to this? Oh, yeah, Lorette. So I call her, and she didn't know the answer to that either. But we were chatting. Well, what's new with you? What's new with you? Well, I fell out of a Cherokee. How'd you know? And it turns out, well, I am too, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God, I had no idea, you know. It's like it turned out her father was of Cherokee heritage, but he died when she was young. And just things like that, you know, happens. So, yeah, it'll be exciting to see Lorette. Maybe I can talk her into doing a quilt panel, too. But it just goes on and on. It's amazing. Anyway, I don't know where to go from there.
Well, tell me about your interest in quilt making. And why did you choose?
I think it's just because I knew it's just what naturally would come out of me, because that's what my mother's mother did, and my great aunt, my father's mother. I've got quilts, piles of quilts from ages and ages ago, and I guess it's just sort of a natural function of expression for me. True. Yes. And that's probably who anybody else learned how. Well, quilt making is a worldwide thing, but yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of people in my family making quilts. And so even when I have no intention of it whatsoever, it just comes through my pores. I am more naturally a painter. Like this one, I made a painting of her, but it's like a painting in an old wooden cabinet piece box that I keep as like a memorial piece in my home. And others, yeah, there's other paintings I've done that somebody's made a quilt panel from, but that's, I do both. And it's as time goes by, fiber arts is one of those things that just takes a really long time to get really good at it, and to love whatever it is you do is another special skill as well. So
how did you determine the size?
And there was no real planning in that. I think I just made a piece of denim that, you know, thought would be a pretty good size, and all the rest followed. So I like using denim because it's very, well, sometimes it's kind of plentiful, and then it's also pretty sturdy. So we want it to be something that, because this will be quilted. Once it's, this is a panel, and it's gonna have a filler and a backing piece as well. Not quilting design in, but maybe, I don't know, we'll determine how we can best do that without interrupting the applique pictures. But it will be the three-layer piece once finished.
And everything's done by hand.
Right. So far. Yeah, I do believe so.
It's not a rule?
I didn't put it in writing anywhere that you absolutely have to. It's just what we've done more naturally, just because it's pleasant to sit around hand stitching.
When you think
of
it,
enjoy it.
I
wouldn't know how to use a machine to do much embroidery, so I guess that's one reason.
Sewing machine?
Yeah, no.
No,
I know how to use a sewing machine, but not to do embroidery with it.
Mm.
So, like, to do applique embroidery, that'd be beyond my experience.
Yeah.
I can do straight stitching.
There's going to be three different quilts, so talk to me a little bit about how you came up with those three categories and...
Again, it's another thing that just kind of shaped itself. It's the three categories are herbs and things, animal spirits, and ancestors. And ancestors would be like portraits of people. Maybe it's just because that's what people were making, plants and things. I guess I wanted to include stuff about culture and the different variations in culture across the country. I wanted to do an owl for my animal spirit, but then I hear people from the West get a little scared of hearing about owls, so I'm like, I don't want to upset anyone, but I like owls a lot, but you don't see too many of them. They hide pretty well.
So how many panels have you done?
Let's see. I've done this one. I worked on one that somebody started. Three or four, maybe. I'd have to look and count. But yeah, like one fellow was passing through summer before last and made the medicine wheel, and I worked on that for a while, getting it arranged correctly. We had to rearrange it a couple of times, but it's the medicine wheel is the centerpiece for the herbs and things, hints and things. But it's, you know, for food and herbs being the central core of medicine.
So how did you get the group going?
I just started showing up. And that I did because, a friend of mine, Mila, is my Eskimo friend, Mila. And I can't remember what made her think that I should come here and do art groups. But maybe it was her idea. I don't know. I just started showing up. She said, well, here, I'll meet you there, and then, which she did. But then she shortly after that, she was moving, and she got a hip fracture that was made her not be able to show up for a long time. So I was just kind of showing up by myself for a lot of weeks. And then yeah, she's here sometimes. But she introduced me here, and
you meet twice a week,
Mondays and Wednesdays. It's after the senior lunch. Pretty much standard. We began doing other arts and crafts, but this is what it spun into. And that's what everybody wants to work on. I mean, if somebody wanted to show up and work on something else, that would be fine. That would be, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I can understand, you know, want to work on another thing. But, yeah, we're doing this and continuing. I mean, if the quilts were going to be something, like, sold, I would want the money to go to a continuing arts program for the Indian Center and continue doing that. So
tell me about your experience hand dyeing the fabric that's going in between the panels.
Oh yeah. I got a grant to buy the materials. I was really excited about it. My first experience was to I wanted to purchase something I guess that grew around here. I want to start really local with whatever grows around here, and somehow found a fellow selling spiderwort flowers. But first he sent me, oh yes, of course I'll buy them. I was so excited. And he sent me like whole plants chopped up, and those didn't work. They would make it, well, I mean, they worked. I mean, they would make a color, but it was just kind of a really pale beige on muslin, didn't look too exciting. So I wrote back and said, this is not what I thought it would be. Well, he thought it would be really purple. So we did another batch, and it was a learning experience. Definitely steep learning curve, all the mordanting and all that jazz. He charged quite a barrel full for the flowers, but it was a learning experience. It's a lot of work. Well, I thought it would be something that we'd have like three little workshops, and I invite people over to make stuff. But with the first experience, and then working into the second one, I could see that the mordanting and the prep work and the after work is huge. So I was a little overwhelmed, but I love it. It's exciting. I mean,
have you ended up with enough to do the three quilts?
I think so. We'll keep working, and then I'm now transitioning into somebody that collects and finds dye stuffs and holds them until we can do another batch if need be. So. So I guess I've kind of learned more. Oh, my train of thought.
So why is this important to you?
It's a reconnection with my ancestry that I probably wouldn't have had another way to do. I don't know. I remember meeting people in town one fellow that I met found out he was 7/8 Cherokee. He was bald and redheaded and pale, like pink pale. And I was like, well, if he's an Indian, then maybe I surely am. He just didn't. So I kept following the places that he told me to go. And that's shortly after that I met my friend Neela, who made a reference to prayer as speaking to grandfather, and I knew I was onto something when I met her. So
what would you offer someone starting out?
Offer?
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give?
There's no race, there's no hurry. Be true to yourself. Connect with who you really are, and express it in your artwork. And if it turns out to go in our panels, then that's great. If it goes in our ancestor quilt, that's great. I have a nonprofit organization called Museum of Universal Self-Expression, and I see that as the museum is really just the entire planet Earth, And the and universal self-expression is when everyone everywhere feels okay about themselves and everyone else everywhere and can express it. Or at least can express it if even if they're not feeling okay. But the real self-expression happening for everyone.
So what's your biggest challenge with the group?
Keeping them coming back. I guess they just keep coming back. I don't know if they just do that anyway. I don't know if that's a challenge. I guess like not splitting off and doing something else, staying with this one focused project, even when, you know, oh yeah, there's been times like we thought about even the Christmas holidays, maybe making something else. You know, I mean, we love to make stuff, but it's like we've been working on these same things for a while. But it's a slow process. But I think that's the challenge. Just getting to know each other and keeping each other entertained to chat and so forth makes it move by pretty well.
Tell me a little bit more about the group, the women that are involved in the group.
Irene and Becca and Shellen show up, and then there's others that come and hang out with us. They haven't started sewing yet. Some have some plan to, but haven't yet, and things like that. So it's a variation. Sometimes, yeah, there's a fellow that traps through every so often, and he started working on a panel, but then he said he wanted to put it on his jacket, so I'm not sure if it's going to happen or with his. Yeah, we hang out after lunch. Sometimes we have exercise before. Sometimes we have acupuncture before. Usually have some tea and just chat about things while we're working on whatever. If somebody needs help with an applique image, I can help them with that or help find a picture to go by and things like that. We just kind of move along in that regard.
So if you had no experience, it wouldn't matter?
No, right, it wouldn't matter. I'm very happy to help along something or put something together for somebody to work on that they can feel like they did it and so forth.
So how long has the group been meeting?
2 years. Going on, it'll be, I guess in March, it'll be a full 2 years. March of 2009.
And you have a website?
Yes. Well, Becca's made a separate website of justancestorquilt.org. And then I have a couple pages on the callmecrazy.org website, too, that includes everything needed to create the panels.
And you have people participating that are not in the Chicagoland area.
Right, right. Yeah, the one lady in Nova Scotia. And then one from Iowa is Kimberly. At least two people have emailed me saying they were going to do pieces, but I lost their email addresses. One was in California, and I thought she said she had somebody Blackfoot. I can't remember. Maybe Potawatomi. I can't remember. Somebody in, and she was going to make one. And then another person in England who wanted to send a panel eventually. So I'm just waiting to see if anything can happen. And then also, yeah, the free traditional Kitua group is now got one lady starting. Let's see if others will even follow along with that. But, yeah, she wants to do it. And then, yeah, there's a couple people that can't make it to the regular group time here in town that are working on some panels. So
when do you suspect you'll have the panels together? Do you have a goal or an idea?
I'm hoping to have at least one totally completed by September of 2009, but maybe even all three ready to show by about then, fall of 2009. So that's hopeful.
Where do you get your materials?
I just have a bunch of stuff all over. I find things. people donate fabrics to me. They've been doing that for a couple of years just because I'm an artist. And yeah, it just shows up. I worked for one designer for a little while, Suzanne in Chicago. I was a cutter for her company for a little while. And got to take home a lot of fabrics from there. So that was cool. Brought home some scraps. And people donate if they hear I'm making it. Once fiber person gets out, that people know to just give you their fabrics.
So. Do you know where they had really a lot of Indian stuff?
Yeah. Okay then. all right then.
Was there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude?
I don't think Cherokees are the biggest something, but I'm not going to be able to go into it. I'm beginning to think that a lot of people in the South have a whole lot more Cherokee ancestry than they realize.
A lot of them don't even like us. You know, while there was a time, you know, they hated Indians. They hated us.
Mm-hmm.
Now a lot of them is trying to claim it.
Yeah.
And the first thing I say is, where are you enrolled? They have to be enrolled. And they have to have a number. It has to be in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a bunch of relatives on the Dawes roll. Have you heard of the Dawes roll? The history is a little overwhelming. The first rolls were taken in the early 1800s, but then further on up in the 1870s and beyond through the early 1900s, they started taking a roll call of all the Southeast Indian tribes, Cherokee, Creek, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Seminole. There's another couple in there, but I'm forgetting them. And that's how you discover your ancestry. You find their names, your ancestors' names. And that's, my great-grandfather, James Green, James William Green, is on the Dawes roll. He's like M13, 16, I can't remember his number, but anyway, he's on there. And so is his wife, my father's grandmother. And so it just goes on and on. And then there's children of theirs that are on there. There's my father's name is on there, but it could be his father's name. And then my father's mother's name is on there. There's like 12 or 13 Annie C. Davises on there. Annie Crockett Davis is her name. I don't know what that means, why there'd be so many of them, but there's a bunch of them. And then Oh, yeah. And it all goes back, they all lead back to this lady. This was, she was the first one I discovered, and then her son, her son's granddaughter, or great-granddaughter, Charlotte Brock, married James Green's father, Francis Green, and the two of them came west from Georgia, Division 19, whatever that is, Georgia, to Indian Territory, Oklahoma. And James and Lucinda got married. Their first son was born in Indian Territory, Oklahoma. That was Rucker Green. That would have been my great-uncle. And then their second son would have been my great-grandfather, or would have been my grandfather, that is, Marion Green, Marion B. Green. But by that time, they had turned that section that they were living on into Arkansas. So, yeah, they're in, I don't know. It's still a mystery. There's a lot to learn.
Well, do you plan to do any more ancestor blocks?
Yeah, I could. Oh, I could do a whole quilt of just people related to me in the off the Dawes roll, but I haven't yet. Lately I've been putting some panels together and finishing other people's and stuff. But yeah, I will eventually. I could do the line all the way through every generation to me. Eventually.
Well, I want to thank you taking time out to do this interview with me.
And
we're going to conclude at 3:20.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I've got somebody picking me up.